pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. We're missing Dan and Gene will not be here tonight. We knew that ahead of time. Do we have any citizen input? Any citizens want to address the council on matters that's for the council? At this time, raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you and give you up to 5 minutes. Okay, do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
Make that motion.
Mark? You a second?
I got a question.
Okay.
I was wondering if we could have item 6 removed.
Item 6.
Since the council member that wanted it back on the agenda tonight is not here, it would be nice if we had a full council to hear that.
Okay, how's the council feel about that?
I'd like to bring it back at the next council meeting, if we could.
Well, raise your hand if you want to do that. How's that? Raise your hand real quick. Okay, we'll strike it off.
The next regular meeting? The next regular council meeting.
Not workshop,
okay.
Regular meeting.
I think there was kind of a consensus.
The consensus, that's good enough?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
May 10th.
What's that?
May 10th.
May 10th, okay. That's fine. Okay, so do I hear an approval of the agenda minus request for reimbursement, which is moved to May 10th? Do I hear Mark already made that? A second.
I'll second.
Okay, Charles? Okay, consent agenda. Do I hear a motion for that?
Make that motion.
Second.
Ken Johnson and Ken Kaler. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, opposed the same. Okay, that passes. Okay, Othello School District presentation. Superintendent George Juarez.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for the opportunity to be able to do what we are about to do. I know it's not in your normal scheme and agenda in terms of in sequence, so I do want to thank you very much for that. Before we go any further, I would like to introduce our board of directors that are here, if that's okay with the board. Dr. Rob Simmons. Why don't you go ahead and come on up here, because I know we're going to present something to Charles here. Our chair, Stuart Hilmes. And board member Tony Ashton. Now, I know I'm supposed to say something about he's your problem now. We don't want him back. He went to the dark side or something like that. But I will say this, that Charles has been on the board somewhere between 7 and 8 years. And during that time, I think we probably experienced some of our greatest growth. He had the opportunity to be in the middle of perhaps some of our greatest accomplishments in terms of some of the gains on the WASL. But additionally, as you know, Charles played a big part in our promotion for our bond. And as you know, it's approximately when you combined the 29 million from our community plus the 40 some from the state, it's $75 million in terms of remodel and construction, and I know that he was in the middle of that and in the heart of that. We will miss him. I will miss him personally. I know he was the type of board member that understood the role of governance versus day-to-day operations, and always advised. I always saw him as being an individual who looked to work towards consensus, and he will be sorely missed. And we do wish him well. I know he has goals and ambitions, and we just thank him for the years that he served on our board. So, Charles, if you would come down here, I know we'd like to present you with a plaque and your name.
Again, just a small token of our appreciation. That's your nameplate. So
I think that's gifting.
That's right. And again, this is our plaque, just a small token of our appreciation for the number of years that you dedicated your time committed yourself to educating and empowering all our students in the Othello School District. So thank you again, and we wish you well. And again, I thank the council for indulging us a little bit, and we thank you.
I just want to say thank you to yourself and the school district for allowing me to grow as an individual and pursue some goals that I've always had. And these guys are a good group, a good team. I mean, you won't miss a beat the whole way through. So, you know, the little baby steps it took to get there, hopefully we can achieve the same and way more at this level. So it's a bigger game now, but it's all the same consequences at the end. You either succeed or you fail. So, and I'm not in the fade anymore. So, sky's the limit, right?
That is right. Thank you again.
Thanks for coming, you guys. The dark side.
he can stay and watch how the big boys do it.
They called it the evil empire once.
Oh. Okay. All right, Michael Gerber and Kaylin Anderson, Eagle Scout Project Report.
Well, we had the opportunity that was given to us by the city to work on an Eagle Scout project, and out behind Walmart, there's a bike walk path. We installed 4 exercise stations, and wanted to report that we had finished this. We put in a vertical jump, balance beam, a push-up bar, and a pull-up bar.
And we took pictures of the final project and everything we've done, but since we don't have the technical equipment to show that, we encourage you guys to go out and just look at it and see what we've been doing over the past few months. We came back, we introduced this project to you guys about, I think, August of last year, and it's taken a while to do it. We didn't think it'd be this long. And we also needed your signature saying that we have completed this project, and it can be anyone from the council. So we're going to do that now. Wait.
Sure, if you want to bring it up, I'll sign it. I don't have a pen.
I got one.
You got one? Great. We appreciate all the hard work you guys put in, being willing to put into the community, so that's a great deal there. Right here?
Yes.
Take it. This is for your Eagle, right?
Yes. It is.
Eagle Project? Good. I was a Boy Scout for a long time. A lot of fun, good memories. Thank you again, you guys.
Thank you.
You want the best of you. That's a nice pen. Thanks, you guys, for coming and doing all the hard work. We appreciate
it.
Okay, proclamation declaring National Day of Prayer. Okay. National Day of Prayer. Whereas on April 17, 1952, the Congress of the United States approved the joint resolution to provide for setting aside an appropriate day as a National Day of Prayer. And whereas the National Day of Prayer has great significance for all of us as a nation. And whereas, at this important time in our history, we also pray for brave members of our armed forces and their families, for their safety, for the recovery of their wounded, and for the peace that we all seek. Now, therefore, I, Tim Wilson, Mayor of Othello, do hereby proclaim Thursday, May 6, 2010, as the National Day of Prayer in Othello. I encourage all citizens of our community to join together in a special observance. So, get involved, people. This is a great thing, I think.
Are they having a service at noon or something special that day?
I haven't heard that yet, to share. Normally they do, though.
Yeah, meet at the flagpole. I think they do in the schools, don't they, in the morning or
something? But we haven't heard yet.
Okay.
Okay, number 6 we'll skip. Request for water sewer agreement, 2201 through 2243 West Canfield Lane, outside city limits. And you're going to do it, Amy?
7:40, Rebecca. I promised her we'd be out here by 7:40.
Oh.
Jay Van Ness normally does the next couple agenda memos. I have worked with him on them. He showed up tonight and had a bad case of kidney stones and went home. He really needed to go home. He was in pain. So I want to pitch it through some of these. The question before the city council is, will you extend the water services east of town Basically, we have an extraterritorial water agreement with Ed McKay. Ed McKay sold the property, and nobody thought to change this agreement. So all we're really doing is changing the name on it, plus the big wrinkle is adding the 30 new three-bedroom, one-bath manufactured homes. Now, you can see in the agenda memo that the gallonage, the additional gallonage required by this project is about 7 gallons per minute, which Jay has indicated that we currently pump about 5,800 gallons per minute, and that's without well 6 online. You all have a memo about all the wells in front of you. You can see the timeline to bring those back on. So we're asking that, that you approve this extraterritorial utility extension with Doug Smith and Georgette Brown, and they are here to answer any questions. There are two other important notes to consider. Number one, we shouldn't be acting on anything unless we look at the city comprehensive plan. How does it impact a city comprehensive plan, and is it consistent with the city comprehensive plan? That's the document you have on the table tonight with the map. This morning I had Daryl review that, and he has found the last sentence in his memo says that there is nothing inconsistent with the city comprehensive plan relative to this request. So again, we would ask that you consider approving this request. The second item that is of note, as you recall, some time ago, the City Council approved Water District Number 1 extending their boundaries. Now, that is very close to becoming reality. Brian Miller, representing 3 or 4 of the property owners requesting the water, is working with the county to conduct a public hearing and then a vote, which would automatically extend the water, their boundary line. Once that's done, this project will be included in Water District Number 1. So if that happens, we're going to be supplying the amount of water anyway. And this really is just a stopgap measure to provide water to the area so that the project can move forward until the boundary line extension by Water District Number 1 takes place. So again, we're asking that you approve the extraterritorial utility extension agreement, which again should be short-lived.
Any questions from the council?
I failed to tell you where this is located. Is there a question on that? It's west of Edson Tracks, where the transient housing was, or is, where Ed McKay's property was.
It's that first row.
Yes, the first row. Thank you.
What, just a general question about the water. When Water District Number 1 incorporates these facilities in their entity, if they want to expand that, do they have to come to us first to take more water, or is the agreement they can have all the water they want, or is there, how does that work now?
Let me make sure I understand the question. When they want to expand the boundaries?
Yes.
Yes, they have to come to you by our agreement, and you have to approve it, which the council did about a year and a half ago.
Because I'm just thinking, if they had already, if they were there, it's just a weird deal if these people weren't incorporated. I guess they'd have to be incorporated because it passes through their water district, but then we pick it up again, and
right,
we're out reading the meters.
No, they are metered. Those are metered out there.
Yeah.
And we read them every month. That's part of the internal nightmare of calculating correct utility bills for the area.
Right.
We have a master meter for Water District Number 1, so you have to subtract out all the other meters that are read past Water District Number 1, and that's a manual calculation that the utility billing department does every month.
But this area was included for the Water District Number 1 expansion.
Yes. When they expand it, will be in.
But the house, the building, the houses wasn't necessarily known.
Wasn't known
when they started the process.
Oh, no. When Water District Number 1 first moved to expand their boundaries, these 30 additional homes were not mentioned, no. No, but the property is there to be developed, along with other property out there.
So I guess my question is, I'm not quite sure what I'm asking. If they had done all this previous and somebody had come up with, I want to build 30 homes in this area covered by Water District Number 1, would they have had to come to us, or can Water District Number 1 just say, this is in our land?
If it's in their boundaries, we have an obligation to supply water to them for their demand. That's what our contract says.
Okay. So they can do some high-density housing in their area, use quite a bit of water, and be our obligation to supply that.
There are some requirements by Department of Health, but not by our contract.
Okay.
So as far as the water lines and things like that and how they're put in, we have nothing to do with that?
Right, except to ensure they're put in by city standards. We will inspect and sanitize and pressure test them.
Okay. And is there irrigation water already rights in that property?
I asked that earlier today, and that's not known. One of the property owners or developers is here. Maybe he can answer. If not, you could make that a condition that could be added to this, that if available or not available, but irrigation district water is, you can put that as a stipulation in this contract, that first they have to go to them before they use city water for irrigation.
If I may, that's already been turned back to the irrigation district. Since it's not in ag use anymore, we turn the water rights back over to the irrigation district.
We need to get your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Dennis Smith from HQ Developers in Spokane.
I guess
the other Doug Smith and Julian.
My question was leading to, as we do these 30 houses, and they're not in Water District Number 1, we have to go down there and mess with the meters and everything now.
Right, which they pay for.
Oh, okay, so we get reimbursed for that.
Right.
So when it becomes Water District Number 1, they, in essence, just take over the meters that the residents have already paid for then?
Yes.
Okay.
Any more questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the agreement with Doug Smith and is it Georgette Brown? How'd you say that?
Yes.
Georgette Brown?
Right.
Do I hear a motion?
Someone.
Charles?
I'll
have a
second.
Who seconded it? Kayla? Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, it passes.
Thank you.
Okay, resolution to surplus equipment. Jay and Steve?
You have before you a list of surplus items, some from Public Works, some from the Police Department. You're being asked to approve this resolution that will indeed declare all of these items surplus, and they'll be sent to Booker Auction as opposed to property.com, where we normally send them and get 3 cents on the dollar. This way, we think we'll make a little bit more money doing it this way.
Questions?
The computers go to Booker Auction nowadays, or just the motors?
No, they'll take them.
Really?
No. Yep.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the resolution to surplus the motors?
I'll make that motion.
Ben Johnson.
Second.
Second, Mark Snyder. Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 And the same if you oppose. Okay. Passes then. Resolution to adopt a greenhouse gas emissions reduction policy. Amen.
This is a resolution that is basically a housekeeping issue that will enable, if adopted, enable the city to apply for community development block grants, which is through the state, the feds, and the state. It's one of these passed down mandate things that we're required to do if you want money. So we're being asked to adopt this resolution. And you can see the items that it identifies, which is like fleet vehicles with higher fuel efficiency. The police chief and Jay and I have already talked about that. They're moving in that direction anyway, as well as most of the other items on there. We're complying with the walk path, bike path. We already have in place over 5 miles of that. So there's nothing really stressing or revenue or expense-wise in this resolution. This will only open the door to apply for funding.
Any questions? Oh, so you know the Public Works Trust Fund, I think you already heard, has no money.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Public Works Trust Fund.
What's that?
Yeah.
This is for next year's business.
Pardon me?
We have to have this done for next year's business, is what's going on here.
Right. There are no monies this year, but they want to compile a list of applications that are due May 11th this year and take to the state legislature and say, see, we have $27 billion worth of requests. Give us some money to fund these. So that's what this helps support.
Okay, so do I hear a motion to adopt the resolution relative to greenhouse gas emissions reduction? I'll make that motion. Ken Johnson?
I'll second.
And Ken Kaler, okay. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Okay, resolution determining the ball field lights as a sole source item.
The $27 billion of the Public Works Trust Fund was just a figure of speech for the press. Okay. I didn't want to get misquoted on that one. Last meeting, you adopted a sole source policy that enabled the staff to purchase Musco Lighting because they're the only ones that provide those lightings. The thought was that we already had a resolution on the books, and we checked. Actually, our city attorney brought that to our attention. So we're just cleaning that issue up also and asking you to adopt the resolution determining that the lights for Lyons Ballfield Park are sole source items. And you have a copy of the resolution.
Any questions for Eamon? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution declaring the purchase of Musco Lights as a sole source purchase?
I'll make that motion.
Mark Snyder?
I'll second.
Charles? Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? All right, passes.
Thank you.
Okay, unfinished business. Okay, new business.
I'll get something here.
Okay, Ken?
I'd like to bring up something here about, I don't know whether I want to say Centennial Park or not, because this is not necessarily totally involved with Centennial Park. It does carry a little bit of a problem that we have down at Pioneer Park. We have found in looking at what we need for power in Pioneer Park is of a shortage. And I don't think it's just a problem because we're using it for Centennial. I've heard this come up from Farmer's Market. I've heard it come up from people putting lights in the park at Christmas time and several other occasions. And what I'm kind of proposing here is that we need another 200 amp breaker in the park for electricity. And what I would like to have done is do it as quick as we can so we can take advantage of that for our centennial celebration. What we need down there is all the power we can get at the present time. There is some there, but it's not enough for hardly to take care of anything we've got down there. Even when they light up the airplane, they have problems of doing anything extra as far as lighting. So what this would do would put in a new 200 amp breaker and take care of those problems along with us. And then we would run a temporary service out of those panels to take care of our vendors and also take care of the stage lighting and things like that. And we're running short of time. I guess that's part of my reason why I want to request it tonight. We have a little lead time as far as the materials are concerned, so it's going to be real close as far as whether we get it done. But I would still like to propose that we go ahead and do this project. It'll probably, I don't want it to run over $2,500. That's about, I think we can get it done for less than that, but that's the budget that I'd like to propose for this. So it's kind of my thought. If you want me to make a motion to that, I'll do that too.
Any questions for Ken?
I've lived in town for over 30 years, and I've never heard anybody say boo about the power in Pioneer Park. So to me, if the Centennial Committee needs more power, they should take some of all the funds they're getting from brick sales and tourism funds and pony up.
Ken, have you got an actual estimate on that?
Well, we figure the materials run a little over $1,000. And then you figure the labor with that and whatnot, the time we get through. I know it won't go over $2,500. Us, as far as Centennial, we could kick in a little bit of that if it's necessary. But I think it's something that's needed continually for as far as that park's concerned, so I think it's part of it. If we can put $165,000 in lights in parks, we can surely put $2,500 in one of our original parks.
Well, it was budgeted and pre-planned. This last-minute stuff, I don't even know why we budget. Just like Beardsley coming in here wanting money. That stuff's not budgeted. It's not planned for. That's part of the direction of this council, to be stewards of money, citizens' money, by planning and budgeting.
Are you looking at just a one area box, not extending out different areas of the park, just everything could be run?
Just be the panels, and then in the future, if they want to extend it on out somewhere else, what we would do with it, for now at least, we put in the panel, and we put in, as we would call them in construction, the pigtail, where we put in our temporary service into that, and then run our temporary power out through the park on the surface, like they do up at Lions Park. That's basically what we're after. But all this would be was basically the basic service itself.
Where would that be located?
We've got two locations. Either it will be close to the existing one at the restrooms on the south or on the west side, but preferably I think it should be up a little closer to the
gazebo.
Yeah, to that. We have a panel there for the pump. There's a possibility it could be connected to the side of that. There's a couple locations that we can make that work, which in a way that would be better. It'd be central located, and then you could use it for the east end of the park as well.
So,
I agree. We need to do something. It is a capital improvement for the park. It's not like we're just pushing money away. It would be great for future expansion for the park too. It would have been nice to have an estimate on it.
Yeah, I
understand. So, because it'd be terrible if all of a sudden it run over the $2,500.
I'll personally put up the rest of the money if it runs over $2,500.
Have you physically talked to any electricians on the labor portion of it?
Well, we, not actually, I haven't, but, you know, as most things run, they run about 40, 60 material-wise versus labor, so I'm basing it on that amount.
Be a nice thought if you could maybe get a local electrician that we happen to use a lot to get on board and really come through for, especially on the Centennial thing.
But we probably can do that.
I think if you can sell that to them, it'd be, obviously people don't work for free, but it's a good cause in the sense, and realistically, yeah, we're in a pinch right now, but it is short of power over there. I mean, every year we complain about the light thing, and they say, well, that's all we got to give.
I think we got an electrical contractor on contract with the city, don't we?
Yes.
Bill Burke.
Right.
Yes.
That we talked to.
And sometimes if you live here, you got to give back to here.
And without Jay or Mike here, one of my questions would be, could this fit in their existing budget under parks? So we're not creating a new line item.
What we would do is, if the council approved it, we would make the expenditure out of the existing budget, monitor the budget through the rest of the year, and if it looked like we needed the budget amendment, we would ask you for that. But it might not, too.
So there's a chance it may not
right.
be an issue at the end.
Right.
Okay, so do I hear a motion then to spend up to $2,500 in, that's Pioneer Park, for 220 service? Is that what you called it? Electrical service?
200 amp service.
200 amp service.
Yep.
Okay, so do I hear a motion?
Don't forget what Ken Kaler and the rest of the spot.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Ken Johnson?
I'll second it.
Can Ken Kaler vote on this one?
Sure.
He can't. Okay, I didn't know since he was bringing it like that.
Well, I don't believe he gets paid by the Centennial Committee.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I didn't want
not yet to anyway.
Have to redo this because he voted on it. So.
If he does, I want the next 100 years.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a first and a second. So all in favor, let's raise your hand so I know. Raise your hand.
I got something.
Oh, okay. Just a second.
Discussion. I guess I just like to, like Charles was talking about, see if, you know, maybe Bill would help out with the cost. You know, I am for it, but I think we should see if you know, somebody can pitch in, do it a little cheaper or something.
You know, and I hate to pinpoint. I'm not trying to pinpoint Bill. I mean, it's just it is what it is.
Yeah, for an example.
He's a lifelong resident. Mm-hmm. He lives here. He eats off this plate too, and I think it never hurts to ask, and it's a great cause.
Your motion has the $2,500 in it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. All in favor, raise your hand so I know. Okay. Opposed, the same?
I was just trying.
Okay. Duly noted. Okay. 4-1, it passes. Any other new business?
Yes.
Ken, or Mark, sorry.
The AC/DC got beat up pretty bad in the local paper last week. And community funds, i.e. taxpayer funds, are going to that entity. And according to the paper, and I know you don't always believe everything you read in the paper, it's might be dissolving and is ineffective and doesn't have goals. And I would just like, I know some council members report on the AC/DC next workshop, maybe to bring back your impression of what's happening with AC/DC and whether it's then ensure it's worth our tax dollars to go to support that entity.
I will bring something back next week. I can assure you tonight that the AC/DC is working right online. We did have our executive director resign her position. She felt that it wasn't, I won't say necessarily what she was looking for, but it wasn't going to fit in with her future needs. And we had a great meeting last time, and we got a great direction going. We have the Ritzville office. The office of the AC/DC is open. We have a part-time person manning it. That was just hired, I believe. They should be starting this week.
Last week.
Or last week. And so we're still taking phone calls, still doing our work, and we're moving forward. Great progress. But we'll bring back up.
Yeah, maybe a progress report and then maybe reassert what it sounded like there wasn't mission statements or goals, and I don't know if that's true or not.
I read that article too, and the first thing I did is I came up and talked to him.
It was very misleading.
We got beat up. It was misleading.
Okay. If you just supply information to make sure we're online.
Yeah, I want to encourage council, you know, that's open for you to go. I've gone 3 meetings and very educational. They are working hard at trying to bring business into Adams County.
Our
that's
next,
their goal.
Our next meeting will be in Ritzville, I believe, not this coming. Let's see.
Second Thursday.
Yes. Tuesday. And we carpool up, so anybody who's welcome to ride with us, we'll be here at 5:00.
And council has received the minutes of the AC/DC meetings for months now, so you can follow along in that also.
Well, it sounds like the county commissioners are questioning it, and thinking they need to provide guidance, so I just wanted to get an update as to where all that's at.
It's a valid question.
Yes.
My other issue, and Eamon, maybe we need to, just a communication issue, but I had discussed previously that we'll have a whiteboard here, and you said we have technology for drawing, and that's not available tonight, and potentially talking about that with item number six, I was going to need to draw something, so...
It'll be here.
Okay.
We have it, no more cost, it's here.
Okay, yeah, if it would just be available, because they never know when people are going to need to draw things out, so I would appreciate having it available.
Right. I've asked it to be here every night. Our IT guy is gone for the next 2 days.
Okay.
Not an excuse, but it's supposed to be here.
Okay. Not a big deal.
I have one item. We've got our C1 zones, some of our rules and regulations so tight on them that a person can't even park some of their own vehicles on it. In reference to one truck, can't even park onto his own property. But we can let commercial trucks park on the public streets up to 7 days in one spot. And there's been one spot in particular down on Royal Street in front of Lumberman's that we have got one trucking outfit that is using his parking lot.
There's one down there tonight.
He's been disconnecting his trucks, leaving his reefers on the streets, and I talked to our code enforcement officer, and he says currently, according to code, that they can park their trucks and leave them there up to 7 days without moving. So it might be something that the council looks at to see what we could do. I'm agreeable, we do need, I have no problem, 3-4 days parking one spot, but this one particular person's been using it for his parking lot for over a year now. It's been the same consecutive trucks for past year.
You know, I'm with Mark on this one. I was down there buying some stuff.
Ken,
sorry. I meant to talk with Jane about that. I forgot. The lumber business there is complaining because you can't get in and out of there safely. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a real issue because when you try to pull out there, they got trucks on both sides and you cannot see nothing.
Yep, you're right.
You know,
we've looked at it a half dozen times, but the code allows, as Ken said, 7 days to park there.
And if you move it?
Pardon me?
Like, say he's gone for a day or two and then you come
then
back.
Then 7 days starts over again.
And that happens.
And realistically, if they go out 5 days a week and they're there for 2 days, it's just the same.
I've seen the trucks parked up there to 5 days. I even went there once, and the reefer was left there on the opposite side of the street, going in the opposite direction. Tonight, the reefer was on the north side of the street, disconnected.
I would endorse, I think it's from 26 down to Scutney, there's finally a sign on First that says no trucks. So all those streets are truck routes where they can turn down and go to Broadway. I would absolutely endorse no truck parking on any of those streets. And one of them, we're almost going to have to because it's going to become the main throughway for trucks because of the restrictions they're going to put on First and 26. So I don't think, and it is, it's horrible. If you get trucks on both sides, those aren't meant for trucks to park on both sides, and it's like going through a gauntlet there.
It is tough, but we also got to look at what the area is zoned to. There's a mixture of C2.
Yeah, but that's property.
And
city streets aren't zoned.
We have an upcoming meeting with all the trucking companies in town, along with McCain's, Simplot, the coal store. We did this about 6 years ago, and it was very successful. So if we can extend this just a little bit and invite council members to that meeting, come up with some joint resolution that works for everybody, and come back to council and have you adopt something that meets some of these changes. But let's work with the people that have to live with it.
Well.
And I think you got to be real careful, especially when you're going to tear up Main Street pretty soon.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't make it.
can't make holes in it or bite us as soon as you start doing something.
Well, no parking will make it more beneficial for truck traffic.
Yeah, no, but we'll know when this thing shuts down in the sections that it needs to. It's we're going to miss that street.
Any other new business?
One other item here. Back when WorshDOT did our little project down on Broadway, Highway 24, whatever, I think it was a great job they did, but I think they neglected one item there. And I don't know whether we can as a city put a little pressure on them to go back and finish that job or what. But I've been hearing a lot of people complaining about coming off of 26, coming on to 24, and you cannot see north until you get Corral almost out into the northbound lane there. And what happened is when they lowered that 3 feet or so, they didn't do anything with that bank that slopes from the overpass there, underpass, whichever way you want to look at it. And all they'd have had to do is level that out and put a bulkhead in the back side of that, and they saved almost $200,000. So if they could go back with that $200,000 and fix that problem, I think it'll take care of a lot of problems that we have and a potential one heck of an accident there, because in a car you cannot see there until you get clear out there in that run out there in the street. And even trucks, I've been hearing telling me, hey, we can't even see until we get nose of our truck are out into the street there so you can see north. So I think that we as the city should address WorshDOT and say come back and take a second look at that and see what can be done.
Yeah, I drive that twice a day and I see that every time I go there. I've had people pull in front of me, you know, but I watch for it, and there does need to be something done there.
It is tougher. I drive it every day too, and
stuff. So what do we do, Eamon?
We can look at that, as Ken suggested, talk to DOT and point out that they created a hazard as a way to approach it and see if they'll come and review it from a safety standpoint. If they find the same thing that you're bringing up, then they would be obligated to take care of it. But they may find differently too, but they need to evaluate.
Yeah, they could sit there for 5 minutes and they could see everybody's got everything. Way past that lane,
right?
For them to be able to see.
We'll get them out here to evaluate.
Eventually, there will be accidents there, and there will be.
Unfortunately, DOT, as you all know, is accident and death rate motivated. That's what kicks their projects into gear.
Yeah,
it's fact of life.
It's just a matter of time.
Right.
It really is for that
entrance. It's overdue.
Well, I'm surprised.
One other thing I noticed on that. Yeah. Project is they made the contractor put up fencing because of the foot traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they took account and there was quite a bit of foot traffic on there, but after the project was done, there's nothing there for foot traffic. Mm-hmm. Now, so
that was brought up, and next year when they do the First Avenue project, they're supposed to look at monies to go back and do the pedestrian on the overpass or underpass. So next year. You're right, it was not in the project this year. It should have been.
Okay, any other new business? I guess I have one question real quick. Chairs. Quite a few have said chairs that want to go backwards on us. Yeah, be careful, Mark. evidently, Mark Spohr had his welded. Is that what they did?
Yeah, we welded it.
Okay, would you like all that done on all these chairs? It just keeps it from going very far back. It's like mine, I can go quite a ways before. Sometimes I wonder. But
actually, I'm okay with mine.
You're okay?
I'm fine.
Yeah, this could change around.
Okay. Everybody's fine? Well, I want mine welded.
Okay,
so
man.
Tell them I'm not going to go backwards, so.
We'll put our initials on them.
There you go. Well, this means adjournment.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and when my kids came to counsel me, they said they thought I was like against the wall back here.
Yeah, because you fall back.
Yeah.